Night Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. We're back with the cast of The League, talking to actor Jason Mantzoukas about that line and just how he manages to cross it at least once every episode. Plus, award-winning comic book and New York Times bestselling author Brad Meltzer has found out there's some pretty important stuff that's gone missing, and he'll tell you how he plans to help get it back. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
If you've ever watched even one episode of The League on FXX, you know that the show has no problem stretching the limits, even though it does have a home on basic cable. So what if those limitations were removed, and what if the show, for example, was on HBO? How much more outrageous could it be? We asked Jason Mantzoukas, who plays Rafi.
I don't know, actually, what we would, if we were, say, on an HBO or something like that, I don't know what we would benefit except for, I guess, maybe nudity? You know what I mean? Like, we would be able to show nudity? You know, like, I guess, which would be fine, but not really necessary. We can say almost anything, and the things we can't say, we find funny ways to say anyway, or something like that. So, you know, I play, like, an awful, horrible, reprehensible sociopath without access to, like, a bunch of words or nudity, and it still is pretty disgusting. So far, I think we're in pretty good shape in that department, yeah.
So with so much improv, does Jason ever have to stop himself before he says something?
Well, I don't censor anything. So I say everything, and they figure out a way to make it work in editing. Some of the stuff doesn't make it in because it's too much. And sometimes we'll do a scene, and then they'll be like, okay, let's do that again. Say what you just said, but take the three fucks out. You know, because we can't put three bleeps in because then it's going to bleep the whole thing, you know. So, stuff like that.
There are some limits, however.
Dialogue-wise, we're always coming up with the lines and as such have a lot of input. Like, a lot of stuff that gets into the show are bits or ideas or jokes that we ourselves came up with just in the moment on that day, you know, which is exciting. And then in a more macro way, you know, I get to do, like, those Seth Rogen episodes. We get to pitch what we want to do, and the Schaefers are incredibly generous, and are like, that sounds awesome, let's do it. You know, like, the idea that, like, these people who have this show that's theirs that they created, and they let two maniacs hijack it for an episode every year and commit, like, murders and all this other stuff on a show that's ostensibly about fantasy football is bananas, you know?
I asked comedian Paul Scheer where exactly the improv comes into play.
Well, I think, like, the cool thing about the show is whenever you see, like, us going on a run, like, that just, where it's really kind of fast, that's, like, a moment that really has come of improv. And I feel like some of the old slams, like, in an episode of the slams, like, we're just always trying, like, I think it comes from trying to make each other laugh, and then we get excited by an idea. And that's kind of the best part about the show, is the freedom that there isn't a set script. So we can go off on a tangent. Now, if it makes the show, it's a whole different thing. And that's kind of part of the fun of watching the show, because I'm like, oh, I hope that makes it in there. Like, in that Manland episode, I went into this giant thing about, like, how different worlds kind of betrayed me because I was a huge Cosby show fan, and I wanted to be like a different world. I wanted a different world to be as funny as Cosby, but it wasn't, and I had a hard time with that. And it was a long, long thing, and I was like, please let that be in there. And I was like, no, not in there. So there's a lot of stuff that you don't see that, like, ends up on the editing floor, but we workshopped a huge Cosby show different world bit that no one will ever see. So that's kind of the fun of the show, though. It's kind of seeing what will come in and what will be out.
So after six seasons, have the characters changed at all?
Our characters on paper in the very beginning were different than what they became. And I think, like, because we got to improvise them, and we all brought our own little tweak to it. So I think there was a basis in everything. I think Andre was, like, successful, but he's still the punching bag. But I think that all grew. I think we just all kind of found ways to make it a little bit more organic in our own. So I would say that, like, it wasn't as much as we broke out of the characters as much as, like, we created them along the way. And as we referenced things, like, I have a blog about magic and Don Henley, and that gets put in the show. And it's like, so, like, the show is constantly, like, cannibalizing anything that we have from improv and then, you know, feeding it back. So it's kind of it's fun, you have some control over it. But at the end of the day, your characters are going to stay the same. Like, no matter what, like, it's so funny, everyone's like, well, do you think Andre's going to find love? No, definitely not, because everything will happen the same exact way. He'll get really close, and then it won't happen, and then, you know, that's, like, sitcom, I feel like. That's, like, I feel like our characters will never mature past the point of who they are.
One of those biggest transformations is with Jenny, played by Katie Asselton.
Like, Jenny's had a really fun journey of really being on the outside. She wasn't in the league. She wasn't really taken seriously as, like, a fantasy football force. And now she's in. She won last season. And she really has a target on her back and therefore has to really up her game. And by doing that, has really just become terrible. But it's great. It's like being invited into an awful club that you didn't even know you wanted to be a part of. But like I was saying earlier, it's crazy to open yourself up and just get shit on verbally by everyone around you. And I know, like, we've been doing it to Andre for years, and Kevin always gets it. And you're like, great, oh, it's my turn, that's awesome. And then they do it, and you're like, that really hurts my feelings.
New episodes of The League every Wednesday on FXX, and see more anytime you want to on FX Now, or catch up on the first 5 seasons on Netflix. Let's head toward the weekend and catch up with the latest in pop culture. Marvel managed to bend, if not break, the internet this week with a bunch of new content and a few pretty interesting announcements. Of course, there's new footage added to the Avengers trailer, which everybody's seen. And now there's also a very cool teaser for the upcoming Agent Carter television series as well. Of course, all the real heat came from the announcement of some more Marvel movies, including ones dedicated to the Black Panther and Captain Marvel as well. As far as casting, Chadwick Boseman looks like he'll play the Black Panther. No word yet on who may be Captain Marvel. And there's still no confirmation from Marvel, by the way, that Benedict Cumberbatch will be Doctor Strange, although most of the smart bunny online says that's pretty much a done deal. Sci-Fi has given a green light to more seasons of Ghost Hunters and Paranormal Witness. Ghost Hunters racks up Season 10, and Paranormal Witness picks up with Season 4, both with new episodes, 13 in total on the schedule for 2015 on Sci-Fi. Metallica fans should plan on staying up late. The band will perform 5 nights in a row on the CBS Late Late Show with Greg Ferguson. On Monday of that week, they'll sit down for an interview with Greg as well. It all precedes the November 24th re-release of the Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster, and a limited edition vinyl album that'll be out in stores on the 28th of the month. Again, it runs from the 17th to the 21st on the Late Late Show with Greg Ferguson on CBS. It's never too early to plan your TV watching for the holiday season, and this year CBS again will have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer aired on Tuesday, December the 9th. They'll also replay that I Love Lucy Lost Christmas episode as well, and paired with another Lucy classic, the one involving the chocolates. Again, that'll air also on the 9th of December on CBS. Some more success stories from this year's TV season. CBS's new dramas, NCIS New Orleans, Scorpion, Madam Secretary, and Stalker all got full season orders. NCIS, by the way, is a top-rated new series of this fresh TV season. Meanwhile, over on NBC, The Mysteries of Laura was the first of their new series to get a full season order. That show's been pulling in a little under 10 million viewers. After being in the rumor stages for so long, MTV has finally picked up the long-in-development Scream TV series from Kevin Williamson. It's set for a fall 2015 premiere date on the network. No casting has been announced yet.
The Point, The Point.
When you say the name Brad Meltzer, you usually have to attach the term number one New York Times bestselling author. With fiction classics like The Inner Circle and The Book of Fate, nonfiction like History Decoded, children's books like I Am Amelia Earhart and I Am Abraham Lincoln, and then we're not even touching on his work for DC Comics. Now Brad is back on the History Channel, building off of his successful series Decoded from a couple of years ago, with a new show called Brad Meltzer's Lost History. And I ask him exactly what sort of treasures have gone missing and what we'll see on the show.
You know, the famous flag from 9/11 that the firefighters raised at Ground Zero is missing. And the very first patent for the first airplane that the Wright brothers developed has been stolen. And even James Bond's famous Aston Martin from the movie Goldfinger, one of the most famous cars in the world, was stolen. Pieces of our history are disappearing every day, and no one even knows they're gone. And what we do on each episode is I tell you the story of the item, I tell you where it was last seen, I tell you who the suspects are, and at the end I say, America, if we want it back, I need your help. Go to our hotline, file a tip on the website, and if we bring it back, we'll give you a cash reward of up to $10,000. And the goal is to really help us bring our lost history back.
As the show goes on, Brad and his team will also keep us updated on previous cases as well.
That's it. I mean, you know, I have no idea. No, we hired the former investigator, lead investigator for the FBI, who used to do lost historic artifacts and recovery. And we don't know what we're going to get back. We don't know if someone's going to show up with the 9/11 flag or not. But I promise you one thing, we're going to get something. I mean, because the way, when I went to the National Archives and I would say, how do you get stuff back? They would always say, someone goes in their attic when their relative dies and their family members go up into the attic and then they find stuff. And that's how it always happens. And so someone is going to find something, and you know, and it's just a matter of the right eyeball seeing it.
So was there any particular story here that affected him the most?
You know, there was just nothing for me like that 9/11 flag. I mean, we did, you know, we did some wild stories, but when we did that 9/11 flag, I mean, everyone knows the flag, but we were filming it right around the anniversary of 9/11 in Washington. And we were in this Army Museum, and we're in front of this other flag, and we kind of all looked at each other, and it's like, you know, it'd be cool if we can get back, you know, a piece of the moon landing tapes that are missing, or to get back JFK's brain, which is actually missing, one of the craziest stories we should talk about. But if we bring back this 9/11 flag, it was one of those moments where we realized it was just a new mission for us. If we bring that back, we're bringing peace to somebody. And, you know, I lost a friend in 9/11. Michelle Heidenberger was a flight attendant on the Pentagon flight. Everyone knows someone who was hurt, injured, or affected. And that was just that one that just seemed like it was just bigger than everything else.
I was curious as to what drew Brad to history in the first place.
You know, the truth was I just kind of fell in love with it because a history teacher years ago wheeled in during one of my 11th grade history classes a video on JFK. And it wasn't one of those kooky, crazy ones that says that everyone and their mother was trying to kill him. It was one of those ones that asked the realistic questions, the real questions that should be asked, like, how does Jack Ruby walk past an entire police station full of officers and nobody stops the guy? You know, what is Lee Harvey Oswald doing in Russia for all those years unaccounted for? These are vital, real questions that need to be answered. And it just blew my mind. It really did, because I was like, you're telling me that these stories aren't in our history books, but they're real. And that's where my love just started. And for me, what I love about history is they're not just stories of famous people. History is what we're all capable of in our very best days. History is the story of us. And I love showing people, and it's my core belief, that ordinary people change the world. I don't care where you went to school. I don't care how much money you make. That's nonsense to me. I believe in regular people and their ability to affect change in this world. And it's why I love sharing these stories with people.
Of course, then there's the comics and Brad's incredible work for DC on titles like Justice League and Green Arrow a few years back. Any more comic stories left inside to tell?
You have no idea how many comic stories are left inside me. I love, love, love doing that book. And feel like I could still do it on a regular basis. But the truth is I just, I write my novels. I want to do these things that, you know, do lost history. And it's just a matter of function and time. I talk to the guys at DC and Marvel all the time. I know what's going on there. They're dear friends of mine. And my hope is of course, to get back to the one thing that you'll love, though, is you'll see me always trying to work comic book stuff, even into lost history. There's one point in lost history where we talk about George Barris. They say James Dean's car, some parts of it were restored and taken off by George Barris. And they have me, you know, that's part of the story. And I say to the staff, I'm like, you know who George Barris is? And they're like, who? And I'm like, he made the Batmobile. And so we basically, even when I have a detail like that, I put that on the show.
Brad Meltzer's Lost History has new episodes every Friday on H2 from the History Channel. And see more at history.com, keyword H2. Well, we managed to wrap that one up without being too spooky for this Halloween Friday. Keep in mind, we're back in a few days on all the usual spots, including MichaelDavisWorld.com, ComicMix.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and, of course, in the iTunes podcast directory as well. Follow us, find out what we're up to on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, under The Point Radio. Have a safe Halloween weekend. See you right back here in a few days. Get the